We are going to open this morning in the Gospel of Matthew, the same passage we were last week. The bulletin says verses 25 through 34, but we're going to kind of jump right down around verse 32. We'll kind of just review the other. Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, we lift up your word, the very word of God. We ask for your Holy Spirit to teach us this morning. We ask the same for all across this town, this county, this state, all across this country, all across the world, that everywhere, everyone is opening your word this morning, that your Holy Spirit would be welcomed in that place as a teacher of your word, that we may learn what you would have us learn, so that we would become what you would have us become. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage in the Gospel of Matthew, as you may remember from last week, is part of Jesus' teaching. He's been teaching what we call the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, about all different things, and then he comes to this section about worry and telling people not to worry. But he just doesn't tell them not to worry. He goes on to explain what they can do about it. But worry is such a big part of the human condition and just paralyzes folks sometimes. We just get paralyzed. And there's a difference, again, between concern and planning, something that would drive you into action to do the things that you should do, and worry, which is the wringing your hands and not doing anything and actually being less effective in the thing you should be doing. And Jesus is saying, God is with you. God cares for everything. He cares for the birds and the flowers, but he cares for you even more. He knows what you need. And then verse 32, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And last week we talked about seeking the kingdom of God. And I no sooner had cleared the door than Randy Haltman took me by the elbow and said, and his righteousness. And I said, yeah, that's next week. And it is. We're going to talk about his righteousness today. The righteousness of God. To seek the righteousness of God in order to receive all that which God desires to give us. All that peace, all that freedom from anxiety that God desires to give us, if we will seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Last week we talked about the kingdom, and indeed today we will talk about his righteousness. And what does that mean? What does it mean to be righteous? And kind of in general, it means to do things right, to be right, to do things well. And in discussion this week, someone said to me, they threw up part of a Bible verse that's from Isaiah that says, but our righteousness is like filthy rags. True, but taken out of context. What it says in the book of Isaiah is this, that God comes to help those who do what is righteous and remember his ways. But when we continued in sin, you were angry. We become as one who is unclean, and our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We cannot say that we cannot be righteous. Jesus says to seek out the righteousness of God. We're also told in Scripture to be holy as God is holy, to be driven toward that mark of perfection that we will attain when we cross to the other side, but we should be working toward even now. Even now. Some of you had took part in a study of the book Mere Christianity over the last few months, and one of the things that C.S. Lewis says is that God loves you so much, he wants to conform you into the image of Christ. And he will do whatever it takes himself. He will do whatever it takes to you to conform you into that image. So we're to seek his righteousness. Well, what is the righteousness of God? Well, It's judgment. We're told in Scripture that it can be judgment. God's judgment is righteous. And then there's an image in the book of Revelation of righteousness. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With righteousness he judges and makes war. May not sound like righteousness to us, but you know, we don't get to decide what righteousness is. We don't get to decide what God's righteousness is. But we submit ourselves to being conformed to the image of Christ so that we might become righteous. And how do we do that? Well, we're told that Abraham got up and went when God told him to get up and go. That he went by faith, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Right? Abraham did what he was told. Galatians tells us that the righteous live by faith. Romans tells us that it is not the hearers of the word that are righteous, but the doers of the word that are righteous. Those who do what God has told them to do. And they do it by faith. Jesus says just before this, O you of little faith, do not worry. So how do we tie this all together? How do we bring this together? How does righteousness, how do we get to the obedience? How do we get to the faith? How do you start with the faith if you don't have much? Well, two places in Matthew, one in a parable in 13, he says, the kingdom of God. So remember, the kingdom and his righteousness are tied together. The kingdom of God is like this. There was a man who took the smallest seed, a mustard seed, and he planted it in the garden. And it grew. And it became the largest plant in all of the garden, so large that the birds of the air could come and nest in it. And then we read in chapter 17 that when they had tried, his followers had tried to drive demons out of this person, they were unable to, and Jesus came to them and said, oh, you of little faith. That phrase coming back again, that he had taught them over here. Seek what first? He told them over here now, oh, you of little faith. If you had faith, like I told you about, like I was teaching about, if you had faith, just as much as a mustard seed, then you could tell the mountains to leap into the sea, and they would. And we often focus on the size of the mustard seed, and indeed is very, very small, but that is not the totality of that image. Indeed, it is very small, and indeed it grows into a very large plant. But if you have the mustard seed to plant, what do you have to do? What's the very first thing you have to do? You have to let it go. You have to turn it over to God. It'll never grow to anything if you're squeezing it in your hand. Yes, it's small. That's part of it. It doesn't take a lot to get a lot. Whatever you start off with, turned over to God, will become what God wants it to be. Whatever you have, no matter how small it is, turned over to God, will become what God wants it to be. And we all have something that's a little different that may bring us to that point of faith. Similar to the cross, right? We said each person must take up their cross, and it may be different for different people. What it takes you to make that step might be different than someone else. But turned over to God, it becomes what it's supposed to be. But you don't turn it over and then neglect it. Not in a garden. Not on a farm. You turn it over, and then I heard these words coming up. You nourish it. You water it. You feed it. You keep the junk away from it. right? You pull the weeds out from around it. You give it the best possible environment. You're true to it. And then it becomes what God wants it to become. It's true with the plants in nature. We see it when we plant. We see that. And God's like, yeah, I think every time when I drive by a cornfield, the thousands and thousands and thousands of stalks, I think God is saying, look, over and over again, all from a single seed. And look. I have no idea if you look at an acre of ground, if you had taken the seeds for an acre of corn, what kind of container would hold that. But it's not an acre size. So it's not just church. It's not just one seed. It's two, it's 10, it's 20, it's 100, it's 150 seeds planted, turned over to God, nurtured, and faith grows. And when we see it happen, we should build upon that and want to do it more. And want to do it more. Continue to turn other things in our life over to God. And watch what He can do. And that faith will lead us to righteousness. Because of our own, we try to do the right things, and some of us are more capable to do those than others. But without God, it's never truly righteous. It's never truly good. Without God, it's never really good. There are these guys, Warren Buffett is one, some of these other multi-gajillionaires that are atheists, and they're running this campaign. Some years ago, a philosopher whose name I don't remember said one of the evidences that God exists is that there's good in the world. So since God exists, there's good in the world. That's an evidence that there's a God. These guys are saying, look what we have done with our money. And we don't even believe in God. Therefore, that which he said is not true. But they didn't read it well. The guy never said that believing in God caused there to be good in the world. He said God exists. Therefore, good exists. But without God, in the midst of what we're doing, the good is just so limited. No matter what they're doing with their millions and billions of dollars, if they're leading people away from the salvation of Jesus Christ because of their pride and their words with what they're doing, if they're leading people away, is it good? Is it good to feed someone today but cause them to stumble into hell? It is not good. That's where, without God, our righteous acts become filthy rags. And boy, if you dig into that word in the Hebrew, it's the nastiest of the filthiest of rags. It was what was most abhorrent to them. It might appear good in the moment, but without God, and if you're leading people away from God, it is not good. Now, good can be done for people who don't end up believing. It is good for us to help feed people in the name of Jesus Christ. That is a good thing to do. And then we hope that the better thing, the best thing comes, that they would come to know Jesus. But if we do it and deny Jesus in the midst, it is not good. It is not righteous. But if we do, as Paul wrote to the Galatians, if we live by faith, and we follow that back to what Jesus said about faith, if we take that we have, and it's so hard, Lord, I believe, I love this guy in the Bible, I don't think they even give his name, but he says, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. If we take that, what did he do with that unbelief-belief balance? He went to Jesus with it and said, help me. We can do the same thing. There's, you know, we all go back and forth sometimes in how much we actually believe. We pray for healing. We may never see healing. We just don't know. We see all the bad stuff happening in the world. We hear about people being shot. We hear all these things, and it concerns us deeply, and it wants to drag away at our faith. So we take that to God. Say, Lord, I believe, but help me. Help me. You know what he says? He says, okay. He says, I'll help you. Give it to me. Watch it grow. Watch it grow. Faith growing leads to righteousness. Because when you see what you've given God take root and work, then it becomes a human response to God with the Holy Spirit living inside us to become more like Jesus. Conformed, the scriptures tell us, to the image of Christ. Why does God let us take part in His work? At least in part because He is conforming us to the image of Christ, and that's what Jesus did. Jesus did the work of God. So if we're conformed to the image of Christ, then we'll do Jesus' work. We struggle sometimes because we don't think we have as much faith as the person sitting next to us. We don't think we haven't been at it as long, we haven't read as much, we don't pray as well out loud, or we don't do this or that. We don't take what you have. Take what you have. Give it to God. Tend to it. I repeat this probably too frequently, but like Jerry Bridges wrote, you know, about farming, that the farmer can't do what God does, and God won't do what He calls the farmer to do. So plant the seed. Do all the stuff on the outside of it that you need to do. Watch God work in the midst of it and turn it into something miraculous. Turn you into something you never thought you could be. Reform you into a way that you never thought you would look. Reform you into the image of Christ Himself. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Then all that God wants to give you will be given to you. Amen.